Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. John Henry Soto here. So today, I'm going to be a little more gentler. I'm going to be a little bit more positive about the music industry. And I'm going to have some more information on what's currently happening. All right, let's just chill out. It's 7 a.m., folks. All right, good morning, everyone. It's 7 a.m. Welcome. My name is John Henry Soto. In Spanish, that's Juan Enrique Soto. And this will be my last show forever. I think this is actually going to be my last stream, my last online show that I'm going to be doing. And of course, today being April Fool's Day, gotcha. But I couldn't think of anything. I just thought of that on the spot. No, I'm not going anywhere. Sorry, folks. Sorry, haters, but I'm not going anywhere. It is, April 1st, 2021. Yesterday's conversation, I usually try to put some positive twists on things, but I think yesterday I was a little bit upset. I know that the reason for it is because of my passion for music. I'm tremendously passionate about music. I don't remember when I first heard music. You know, it just was always part of me. So it probably was in the womb before I came out, and I was already kind of doing this, just kind of you know, that's kind of how I was born. And I just feel that the overall energy yesterday was a little bit negative on my part. And I'm not apologizing for what I said. I stand behind everything that I ever say or post or whatever. But I do always like to try to have a positive viewpoint on it, even if I disagree or if I'm angry or whatever. But yesterday I felt that it wasn't the case, and I left and I wasn't feeling good. You know, I wasn't feeling like I had really communicated fully my views. You know, I communicated my anger, which is a difference, right? And in today's world, right, we're living in the very sensitive world, right? People are just like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that, or can't believe they posted that, or I can't believe that, whatever it is. And this cancer culture, there's a lot of sensitivity, a lot of weak individuals that can't really take something and just let it be for what it is. As long as it's not harming anyone, it's just a viewpoint, somebody else's viewpoint. It doesn't have to be everyone. We don't all have the same viewpoint. But there is a lot of weak individuals out there that just don't want people to communicate their views. They want to squash them, right? Suppress them. And I tried to stay away from that. But yesterday I felt that I kind of went into the negative space and talked about current music scene. And it is a frustration because I know so many musicians out there, wonderful musicians, that don't have the energy flow, the financial energy, but have everything else that any of these top, you know, top 40 artists that are out there now have, you know. And that's a little frustrating. And then when you see someone taking that ability, that power, that responsibility, and basically crapping on it, you know, just I promise I won't get angry again. But when somebody takes that opportunity, you know, and they make it dirty, they don't care, they're too cool. You know, it's their right to do that, obviously, right? But it's just frustrating because it's such an ugly thing to look at, you know. And I always remember Maya Angelou, who said, you know, she had one of the greatest things, right? People won't remember what you said. They won't remember what you did, but they'll always remember how you made them feel. And when I hear music, good music, it makes me feel great. When I hear an artist just being completely vulgar, I don't feel good. I don't know what the hell anybody was saying in these songs. I don't care what they were saying. I pick up words here and there. It just made me feel, you know. And that really is the opposite of what music should be doing. Now, okay, people say, well, it's the song of the year. It's on the Billboard chart. Well, that should tell you really who's pushing that music, number one. And the people that are consuming it and really love it, it just tells you where society is going as a whole. And that's where the tragedy lies. Now, I wanted to take a positive, more positive viewpoint today and just talk a little bit about my life with music and my experiences and how music really did, not to, you know, this is really an understatement, but music saved my life. You know, it literally saved my life. If it wasn't for having that musical outlet growing up in the environment that I grew up in, I don't know what I would have turned to satisfy my creative needs. You know, I mentioned yesterday I had a guitar at the age of 5. You know, or my grandmother, my great grandma told me that I would play guitar. I would be a musician. She came to visit one day and she said, "Come over here." Spanish, of course. And I went over there and she grabbed my hand. She said, "Let me see your hand." And she's like, "So you're going to be a guitar player?" And I was like, "Oh, I didn't really think about it." But I said, "All right, fine, whatever." And I actually felt it, you know, in retrospect now, I felt like I was a little, like there was pressure now, you know, to do this thing. But then my grandfather at the age of about 9 took me down to a Spanish store. I say Spanish because when you walked in, there was just Spanish record playing all the time. And it was a wonderful place. I had guitars and records, and it was called El Palacio, and it was right on Southern Boulevard where I grew up. And we went there, and he looked up and he's like, "Which one do you like?" And I remember thinking, "I like that one. Why are you asking me?" You know, I didn't know. And he bought me this guitar with this case and these little, you know, those books that you can never learn out of, the Mel Bay books, whatever they call, Bay Mel, whatever they call, books that you can barely understand. But I had two of those books and I had the guitar. And I remember walking home just feeling like I couldn't believe it. I was just looking down like, this is mine. and that began the journey, you know, because it was different. I would always listen to music, and my grandma would get a little upset because I would have to go to sleep with music. And I would take the, you know, we had these cassette, you know, these long cassettes where you hit the buttons and the little cassette pops up and stuff. So I had one of those, and when I found out that you can record with this, you know, and I was very young, 7, 8 years old, I would grab it and put it by the television, and then I would just hit record, and now just have to make sure everybody's quiet because I'm recording. So if I hear a song on, you know, a band playing on the Tonight Show, this is how late I used to be up because my grandparents had a little bit of problems with my energy level, as my family does today. But I would, whatever artist was on, if it was during the day, if it was whatever it was, I just wanted to record it, and I would have this cassette and I would listen to it later on over and over again. And then, you know, when I found out you can record over stuff if you don't want it anymore, I was like, "Oh my God, I can just record over it." And I would record over stuff. And it was just a whole world that I had in my head with this little machine and the sounds that I was trying to get. And then when I had the guitar, I remember coming home and my uncle was there, or he came to visit. He was my grandmother's brother. And he taught me my first chord, which was an E chord. And he basically grabbed my fingers and he said, "It goes here, it goes there, put your fingers up here." And I remember when I put my fingers there and I held them there, he turns to my grandfather and he was like, "Oh, he's got good fingers for guitar. you know, the fingers really stay there, you know. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I got good fingers for a guitar, and feeling pretty proud. And I hit the chord, and it was for the first time ever that I was me physically in my body creating the sounds that I was hearing, creating music, creating that, you know. Remember, music is the only art form that is really difficult to explain. Like for any atheist or for anyone who just doesn't believe in an afterlife, or who doesn't believe in spirituality, or doesn't believe in a lot of different things, music is really the most difficult thing to explain for them, you know, because music does something directly to the individual, right? It's not a thing that you have to visualize, right? You don't have to touch it. You don't have to taste it, smell it, right? It literally goes directly into your ears and into your body. You know, it's a direct thing. It's like communication, right? Communication is, I'm saying these words, you're listening to these words, you're taking them in, you're duplicating them, you're having your own thoughts about it, and then you're communicating them back. Well, music is the same thing. It's just a direct thing. And I remember when I hit it, it was so direct to me. It just was like, I just created this thing that I was so blown away by. I did that, you know? And that to me really was, it blew my mind. And it was, of course, the moment that I decided, you know, this is going to be what I'm going to devote my life to, in music, you know, and playing and stuff. And then began years and years of not playing at all after that. You know, 9 years old, 10, 11, 12. It wasn't until I was about 14 years old, 15 years old, that I saw that there was a kid that lived on the block here, and in Bayonne, but in the Bronx. I'm actually literally there now, so that's why I said down the block here. but he had a bass guitar that I think was his dad's or somebody, and I remember looking at it, and it had only four strings, and I was like, oh, only four strings? Why does it have only four strings? And then I learned about the bass, and then I heard him play something, and then I went home, and I had this guitar. And so I grabbed the guitar and I started trying to do the stuff that he was doing on that bass on the guitar. And the following day, I learned to play, what was it? It was something like, dun, 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 right? Whatever that song is. And he was playing that. Now we're in the Bronx, right? This is not something that you would hear normally, people hear, but I heard it, and that's what he was playing. So I went home and I learned it on the lower notes on my guitar. And then a few days, weeks, I don't know when it was, later when I went back to that house again, you know, I was like, oh, can I play it? You know, and he was like, oh, you know, he was like, yeah. And I did that, boom, boom, boom. And they were like, oh, he knows how to play that. Oh, that's so cool, you know. And it was like, you know, I felt really quite happy about that. And then it became, you know, the whole thing about you doing, creating something that was appreciated, you know, that became another element of music. And then I started realizing very young that about the communication that you're giving out, you know, I wanted to be very, I wanted to communicate things that were serious. I wanted to tell people deep thoughts, and I wanted to give an idea. I wanted to create ideas in people's heads based on what I was putting out. And I was one of those guys that growing up, I didn't want to play the hits. I know that sounds weird. A lot of musicians, you start playing other people's songs. And I did that very little. I would play maybe some Eric Clapton, you know, the lead parts. And of course, a lot of Santana as I played later on, and I still do today. But I didn't want to go out and do the exact song. I always thought that was boring to me, because I thought, why am I going to do the exact song when the song is already there and the artist is still out there performing it? I just thought it was kind of, I don't know. It was like, and I would hear people play them amazingly, even complicated things, you know, played amazingly. And then you would be like, cool, cool. Do you write? No, I don't write any. I've never written a song. We've never written. And that to me was like, isn't that the whole point of playing music? Is creating something that hasn't been there before? That's my own viewpoint on it. I know that there are musicians out there that are fantastic that play in like wedding bands and cover bands. And I don't have that talent. You know, it's not anything that I feel that I'm not in any position of anything. I don't think that I'm better or lower or anything. A musician is a musician and they're fantastic. And I love musicians. Yeah, I sounded a little drunk there. I love musicians. I'm not drunk, I promise. This is 100% pure coffee. But I love musicians. And I love the fact that there's so many different options. You know, you can go play for a cover band, a wedding band. You know, you can write your own music and combine it. You know, but I'm more excited when I hear someone present a brand new song to me, a brand new, you know, energy, mental flow, something that's never been, you know, played before, or at least it's been inspired by other things, right? And that to me is a real joy for me to do that. So I started writing very, very, very young. As soon as I can play, me and my cousin George would get together at his house, and I had this little tiny guitar and this really horrible amp. It had no distortion, or it had no sounds to it. It was just an amp. You just turn it on and there you are. So it sounded terrible. It was plastic. The outside was plastic. And you know, I got it on I got it from Finger Hut. I don't know if anybody knows what Finger Hut is, but I got it. You can buy stuff and then you just make your monthly payments of, like, I think I was paying like $8 a month or $9 a month, something like that, for this really, really cheap guitar. But I loved it, and it kind of got me a little bit to play. You know, it got me comfortable with playing. And so we would get there, and then he wanted to play drums. And I was like, you should play the drums, because he always had the drum. You know, he loved the drums when he was much younger, but now he's a teenager, and we're both, you know, I'm like, man, you should get the drums. So he did. We went, and I remember going with him to a music store, and there was a drum set. I'll never forget. It was a Sonar. No, it was a Percussion Plus, I believe. Percussion Plus was what it was called. And he bought it. And I remember helping him set it up because he didn't know how it was supposed to be set up. And I remember just having sort of a innate understanding of drums and seeing pictures of drummers. Remember, we didn't have, you know, MTV was a thing, but we didn't have, you know, we saw a lot of videos of musicians. So that's where we get our views from. But there was no live music. There was no, you know, all the streaming platforms. You couldn't go on YouTube. There was none of that stuff. You had to just catch it when you caught it, whenever it was on TV. So I kind of knew instinctively, and I put the drums together, and we began to play. He seemed to pick it up almost from one day to the next. Like, he was having, the first time he was kind of learning, and then I left, and I came back the next day, and he's like, he's playing, you know. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, wow, you can play already? What the hell's going on here, you know? So I grabbed my guitar and we started playing, and we played every single day almost for at least 6 months to a year. And then we were ready to go out, and we started playing, you know, with other family members that were older and much more experienced, and started our band. And then I started writing songs. I wrote a song called Aftershock. It's about after a war thing, I guess, like dropping a nuclear bomb or something, the aftershock. You know, this is where my mind was back then, right? This was after the Cold War. I wrote a song called She's Gone. And so I was writing these songs, these really, really horrible, bad songs. But for me, they were like my own original thing. And I remember George getting all excited. Oh, my God, that sounds great. You know, we were playing these songs. And then that never really stopped. I just kept writing and kept writing, and I've written hundreds of songs now, and I have books. And throughout the years, even when I after we had a band, and a very successful band, and we had a couple of songs on the radio and local radio, and we were going to actually be doing some shows. And, you know, tragically, we lost our good friend David, who passed away suddenly, and it kind of took the air out of what we were doing, even though we tried to kind of come together again to do it. But it was really difficult to, that void was really bad. So the group ended. But even after it ended, I continued to write, and I continued to do things. I got into film work, and film and music really go well together. That's why every film has music in it. And since the beginning of music, they had the images, you know, and they had the piano, you know, they had the silent films always had music, you know, and just it fits really well together, because music is so expressive. It's so, you can play something very, very dun, 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 and create an emotion. And then you can go dun, 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 dun. And right there, you have another idea, another emotion. So music and film fit really well together. So I started acting, taking some acting classes with an acting coach in New York City. I was never into the classes and all that stuff, so I just wanted to do private sessions, and I did. I found a wonderful acting coach, and we worked together for a few years. And after the first year, I got my enough courage to go out and audition. And then when I realized, when I was on set, and my acting coach told me that music and acting, you know, when you're actually performing, what you're saying, the words that you're saying, they're melodic, they're musical, there's a tone, there's variations in your voice, you know, there's inflections that you use, and all these different techniques in acting are basically music, you know, it's music. And when you hear a wonderful monologue, it's music, you know. And so they went really well together, and I dove into that world. Of course, immediately after getting in front of the camera, I wanted to write my own film and direct it, and I started doing that for the last 10 years. So this is a little bit of how important music is to me, and how valuable it is for all of us to really get our children to appreciate great music, you know. And by great music, I mean the classics. You know, you can listen to, there's so much stuff that you can listen to. I was just listening to a song by Paul Williams, who I've met numerous times, a great, great guy. And he's written some of the most incredible melodies and some of the most incredible songs ever, you know, Rainy Days and Mondays, Evergreen, you know, in my, what's that song, In My Country, I can't remember but just these great, great songs with these great melodies. And that's what I play for my kids now. You know, I play Billy Joel, I play, you know, Elton John, modern, you know, late, you know, more modern, or not even that modern anymore, but John Mayer, they love John Mayer. Bruno Mars has some really great songs out. And of course, Michael Jackson, and all these great artists that had these great melodies. And that even if the songs were kind of rough and maybe a little risque, there was always that undertone of mystery in it. You know, it wasn't so blatantly dirty. It wasn't like filth, you know. That's not exciting to me. It's sort of like seeing like a naked woman, you know. Yeah, there she is, naked woman, you know, like people who are really into the porn stuff. It's like there's just there's nothing interesting about that anymore. It's done, there it is, you know. But when you see a woman dressed beautifully, and she's has a beautiful dress on, and she has her hair is made, and you know, I think that's beautiful, and that there's the mystery. There's, wow, look at this beautiful woman. That's the intrigue. You know, even my wife, she went to work this morning, and she was dressed, she had this beautiful black dress on, this short, it was a little bit above her knees, really nice form fitting. She's got a great body. And I was like, wow, that is gorgeous. That is what I like. That is beautiful. She was naked. She was naked. You know what I mean? It's like all mystery gone. There it is. You know what I mean? And, but of course, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing either. But for music, it's like, come on, give me something, give me some metaphors, you know, give me something to think about, give me some something more creative that makes you feel good at the end of the song, not makes you feel like, yeah, like some kind of weird emotion, you know. That's my take on it. But I love music and I love people who play music, and even those artists that are creating that kind of music, maybe they're in some type of pain, maybe they've gotten in too deep and they can't get out. Maybe they'll grow out of it and put out some stuff that really that's really great. I look at people like who grew up in those rough environments, like Mary J. Blige, you know, who I love, and she's grown into this incredible artist. But she had those rough beginnings, you know. I mean, it was never like what's currently now, but she had those rough beginnings, and she had those rough moments, and her career was up and down, but she was just so consistent, and she's so freaking talented, and she just keeps moving forward. And I just love that, you know. I have to mention Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys is just phenomenal. I mean, what a talent. I mean, just incredible music. You can go on and on with the current beautiful artists that are out there today. And those are the ones that we should really be supporting. And, you know, and those should be the songs and artists of the year, the ones that make you really feel good. The songs are just really just inject the spirit of life into your soul. And that to me is really important. So, all right, folks, that's my hopefully a little bit more positive outlook on the music industry. I talked a little bit about my experience with it, just so you can get some insight into where I'm coming from, the importance that I have behind it. It's true. It's sincere. I love it. And I'm going to be doing a lot more of it. And I'm really excited to hear new music. So, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate y'all. I will see you all tomorrow morning. Have a great day out there. Make today great. Do the things that you love. Take care of yourselves. And as always, peace.